Praise the Lord. What I'm going to do is hand out a little exercise, and I want you all to take a minute to do it. I'm hoping I have enough.
I'm waiting to see my sister to come, but I don't think she's here yet. Mr. Frame would kind of
Alright, we'll take a few minutes and to answer these questions. Make about 10. Take a few minutes and read and ask those questions. Who doesn't have one? Everybody have one? Okay. Read and answer the questions. Anybody have an extra pen? Extra pens?
Some people that don't have a pen. Typically, my group on standby comes off today.
young people last week.
Keep your good pen.
Everybody have one? In addition to the new people just came in, paid for a book but you don't have it. Anybody here that's paid for a book already but you never picked up yours? All right, those are already accounted for. But we still need who doesn't have a book or haven't paid for a book? One. We need is one book extra. We need three. Two for the the new couple that came, huh? Okay. All right, Grace, you have a book? Okay. Take a minute to answer the questions. All right. Frank, you probably need a few more of these, so we want to make sure that you have it. And you want to make sure that as we do this, you hold on to these worksheets to keep us through. All right. You gave away the original. Okay. All right. For the interest of time, let's go through it now. All right. My father is always at work to this very day. And I, too, am working. And I tell you the truth. The son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his father doing. Because whatever the father does, the son also does. For the father loves the son and shows him all that he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. This is John chapter number 5, 17 through 20. All right. Now, who is at work always? The Father. So you want to put that in line? The Father is always at work. Sometimes? A little bit? Good times? Bad times? Difficulties? Rain? Snow? Sun? Hot? All the time, the Father is always at work. When you can see him. When you don't see him. Family getting in trouble. Son getting incarcerated. Bad decisions. Marriage divorces. Always. Always, always, always. We say that, but the reality is we need to make sure we keep that in the front of our minds, that God the Father is always at work. All right? Number two, how much can the Son do by himself? Nothing. Nothing. All right? Okay. Then it says, what does the Son do? The Father what? Whatever the Father does. All right? Whatever the Father does. All right? Why does the Father show the Son what he is doing? Because what? He loves him. All right? Now, what is this the descriptive of? What is this passage showing us today?
That
he is one with the Father, right? So Jesus represents who?
The
Father, right? Okay. What else do you all see here that's not highlighted as you read it? What do you see what's going on?
I think it's telling us that we need to be the same as the Son is to the Father.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting that we should have the perspective of having the Father's what? Model. You know, we ought to reflect him. Right? Okay, what else? Discipleship. What do you mean by that?
I guess if I had to put it in the words that Father, the Son is doing what he sees the Father does.
So yep.
It should be our duty as Christians to train others to be.
Yeah, so it's not just us modeling the Father ourselves, but you're saying we ought to be what? Raising up others to do what? To do what the Father does. You know, more reminds me of Paul saying, imitate me as I what? Imitate Christ. All right? Follow me kind of thing. What else you see?
Mm-hmm. Is it sort of like the earthly Father and the Son? Is it like a parallel of that?
Give me an example. Take that further, what you're saying.
Well, your earthly father loves the son very, very much.
Yeah.
So, that's just basically all I came up with. It says the earthly father loves his son extremely a lot. So,
okay.
And what for number three? I put what he sees his father doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to.
Copy or mimic, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what I got out of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, you should, yeah, okay.
But I see what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I love my father.
Uh-huh.
how when I was little, I wanted to do everything my father wanted.
Okay, okay.
Wanted to be just like him.
All right. Y'all see that imagery there?
Yeah.
Wanting to be just like the father, right? Children want to be just like the father. Or daughters like to be like the mother. And the sons like to be like the father, all right? What else you see?
Uh-huh. He can do only what he sees his father doing.
He what?
He can do only what he sees his father doing.
He can only do, right? What he sees his father doing. All right, Mom, you're sorry, you had your hand up.
God the Father is always at work, but then I also put Satan is always at work.
That's a true statement, but this ain't reflecting that. Yeah. All right? But real quickly, Grace, I love you. Praise the Lord. I do love you. I really do love you, but you can't sit there. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry. I love you. Praise the Lord. You can't sit there. We can't sit at no empty tables. You got to be at a table where there are other people involved, because this is more interactive. This is not solo. I get it. I understand. Pray the Lord. Love me anyway. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We love God. Look at God. Look at God. Here we have a hand. Look at God's word. Praise the Lord. So if we got to move to a different table, we want to make sure we do that, because we want to have it interactive. All right. Thank you, Denial. Praise the Lord. I thought he was going to get away. Yeah, amen. Uh-huh. Yeah. When you sneak out, you got to sneak out on the group. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. Look at God. Oh, man. Good, good God. Look at God. Look at God. Only until then, somebody else comes, and we'll put them to your table. Maybe you can have a table, but we want to make sure everybody's with the smile. Yes, ma'am.
I don't know it. Let me be very careful here. Let me just say he was not a good father.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'll leave it right there.
Okay.
So the word father
kind
of has a problem within me.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how to overcome that. But I ask for your prayer.
Okay. We would, and you mean by you can't overcome the bad example that he has set before you, or does the bad example hinder your relationship with the Father and seeing him in a certain way because of the ruptured relationship you had with your earthly father?
When I think of God, I don't want to use the word father.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay. And I thank you for your transparency. I thank you for your vulnerability, because that's not an easy thing to share. But I would recommend, if you will, if you feel open to us dialoguing sometime, or any minister, pastor, Stinger, somebody, to kind of help work through what that all looks like, because if we don't work through those areas, it may hinder your relationship with God, and you want to be free and whole when it comes to God. And so even though we do have an earthly father, but that earthly father is not God. But sometimes how we experience our earthly father will hinder the way we shape and understand this paternal God who calls himself father. When I've never had a father, I don't understand the father you gave me. So how can I resolve to you like that? I would love to work with you. And I'm sure other ministers, Pastor Stinger and others would love to sit down with you and work with you to kind of help you work through that. Because that can't be overnight. That's a long process of really bringing out those areas of struggle, those areas of pain that your father has created. I had to go through that myself. And God worked through with me with that to get a different perspective from my earthly father so that I can relate to my father a certain way. So, but I had to work through that, and I don't mind taking some time to work through that with you. And I'm sure if you're open to other ministers who are in this area, I mean, in our church, that could help you do that, definitely spread the word to them. And you could go to them, and they'd be willing to work with you. Yeah. Yeah. And I would like to do that while we're going through this, because this may block, or going through this process may open you up that you may get healing and wholeness and deliverance as you are experiencing God. Because if you're experiencing a father and you're hearing these terms, that's going to cause a blockage for you to even receive. You feel what I'm saying? So I would love to do that for you. But thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for your transparency. And that's not a band-aid fix. I can't say, go to this scripture, that'll help you. No, this is where counseling and really spending time going over it and helping you work through it. All right? But thank you for being vulnerable to say. All right? Yes, Brenda.
What I also see here is that the love the Son has for the Father,
yeah,
is so strong, it's so true,
uh-huh,
that he's actually experiencing him because they are one in the same, and he wants to, I mean, he is him. He wants to be him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really, really good. So are you saying the Son loves the Father, right?
Yep.
Which that's evident. But what else do we see prior to the Son loving the Father?
The Father loves,
yeah,
the
Father. That the Father is the first one that extends the love. And then now the Son says, whoa, you love me like that to allow me to see. I don't know. See, again, I relate to things in movies. I just, but there's a movie called Trouble with the Curve, and it's a father-son-daughter relationship. And the father is sitting down with the son, and his love for the son is willing to expose his life, right? But at the same time, the son is getting enjoyment that the father has allowed him to see something that he probably wouldn't have saw before, which is powerful in the imagery, because it's saying what's motivating what the son does is the love. What motivates the father to do what he's doing is not obligation, it's love. That's some powerful stuff as well. Any others? Any other insight? Good, good, good stuff, good stuff. Yes.
I mean, make the statement that love hides a multitude of sins.
Yeah, yeah, how it covers it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, love does that. Mm-hmm. Covers it, right? Mm-hmm. All right, now, what else y'all see before I can rush real quick? Yeah.
Yeah, I like how, like, the high end.
Uh-huh.
And how it says, yes to your amazement, the Father, as he will show the Son even greater things than these. So basically, he was trying to. What I got from that was he was going to show him even greater things than he saw him doing.
Okay. Give me that again. That's powerful. Go ahead. Give us that again. Like, can everybody hear him?
No.
Okay. Keep talking loud.
I felt like in the last sentence, the father was going to show the son even greater things, just besides the things that he saw him doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm, he was going to show him the things that he didn't see.
Wow. So he's saying the father is showing the Son out of love some great things. But he said, even to your what? Amazement. That I'm going to show you even greater. Which means what you're experiencing so far, you may be excited about that. But what's getting ready to come is way beyond what you can ever imagine. So God gets joy, the Father, out of the excitement we show when we are representing him. Glory be to God. Whew, God, that's good stuff right there. All right, now, did y'all catch this? Nothing happens on earth unless heaven reflects it first. God Almighty. Woo! Woo! He said, Jesus said, I ain't doing nothing on earth unless I see it reflect on what I see my Father doing. Are you kidding me? Are you serious here? Wow. So, before I talk to one person, let me see how my Father talked. Before I hug a person, let me see how my Father hugged. Could we ever get that perspective before we jump out there and do what we do? That we say, first of all, hold on, Maureen. Does the Father reflect this action? And since he don't, know what? I can't do that. What would the church look like? If we all reflected that of the Father, right? All right, that's what I saw. Also, it says, when does the Father's work end?
Never.
It never ends?
Never.
So is the Father at work right now?
Yes.
Wow. At work even right now. What if husbands and wives are arguing? What if they don't agree with what's happening? What about the college student waiting for the tuition to be paid? God is, when the supervisor getting on your last nerve, God is at, when the mailman taking a long time to bring your check to the mailbox, the Father is at, whoo, wow. Isn't that interesting? When I can't fit anything in my closet, because I got an extra size, the Father is at, okay, y'all saw shopping. When you know I cheated on my diet and I'm eating the wrong stuff, that my wife gonna tap me on my arm saying, you know the doctor say you can't eat that, the Father is what? At work. Okay, good. Now, this is one of the clearest statements on how Jesus knew what to do. Here's an outline of Jesus approaching to knowing and doing. He said, it's one thing to know it, it's another thing to
do it.
All right? He says, the Father has been working right up until now. Right? So Jesus is saying, there's nothing I can't do unless the Father's at work. If the Father's not at work, I can't do anything. But he says, the Father's been at work until now, right? Then he says, no, God has me working. Now God has me working. I'm sorry. Did I say no, God?
Yeah.
Woo, correct me. Woo, woo. All right. Now God has me working. Oh. Now, what's about to help me? Didn't Jesus get upset?
Yeah.
Didn't he turn the tables upside down?
Yeah.
And he says, the Father has me working. So my question is the Father working through us when we cut up the way we do?
Not only.
Y'all better be quick to say amen. Yeah, then it's told. Oh, really? Woo! Maybe he be working at a negative. Now that's probably positive. Amen. All right. I ain't gonna say it. All right. I do nothing on my own initiative. All right? I watch to see what the Father is doing. The Father loves me. He shows me everything he is doing. Now, notice this. I thought it should better say, the Father is showing me what he has done. Right? Yeah. Right. Sure, right? He's still working. And even the stuff I do, I can't take no credit for it. God did it. Ain't that that show? All right. I want you to bring this, or better yet, bring it, yeah. But if for the interest of our time with this book, I want you to spend, maybe put this on the mirror in your bathroom, put this on your car, somehow every day. I want this to be the mold that how you operate your day. Going through the list. As you're thinking about, okay, I'm about to go to school, about to go to class. You know what? The Father has been working up until now. Okay, Kenny, God is now working me. All right? Kenny, I do nothing on my own initiative. Kenny, I watch to see what the Father is doing. Everything that's going to reflect the way I carry out my day is going to be based on these seven principles. All right?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because if you're trying to do something on your own initiative, then it's wrong.
Absolutely.
And if you ain't aligning with the word, then you're wrong.
Yeah. But what it says, not only our actions, but what else should this check?
Our mindset
and our attitude and our motive as to why we do this. Are we doing this to what? Please the Father. All right? Now, with that being said, let's move on. Melanie, where are you?
And it also, Minister Cole,
Frank, it looks like you're cold over there, so I want to leave you say.
Also, put.
Can you pass those out there, Rocky?
Yes.
I hope we have enough, huh?
Also, it puts Matthew 6, 33, at the forefront.
What'd that say?
Seek ye first
what?
The kingdom
and all is what?
Righteousness.
Now, as she's passing these out, I want you all, as you're going through the book, to get you a fresh notebook or a fresh journal. We want you to be journaling these experiences. Don't get a notebook you already been written in, all other stuff in there. Put a fresh notebook on there saying, experiencing God. And it's going to be your moments to capture what God says, does, and changes, transforms as you're going through this book. All right? Now, somebody read Job chapter 42. God is always talking, even in the conversations. Okay? Job 42. So while everybody passing out, we're going to go through that. But we're going to turn to Job 42. And then we're going to jump in the book.
All right.
All right. Before we get to Job, let me make sure everybody get this hand out. Also, these two. Put this, make sure you have this too. All right. Everybody have it? Notice these are seven realities. All right. Number one, God is first. You see that? See the arrow. Number one, God's work. Who is this stick person?
Me.
Me. All right, see that? See you right there? Martha, you see you right there? You see it? You see it? All right. Everybody see themselves right there? Okay. But notice that number one says God's work. Then number two, it says what?
Relationship.
All right? And then three is a what?
Invitation.
All right? Then number four is God speaks. Five is, all right, and six,
adjust,
and then what's seven? Okay. Now, what is this a representation of? To experience God, right? But notice what has to happen in order to experience God. What's that? Huh? Accept God. Salvation. Right? People can have an experience with God, but they can't experience God unless you have what? Been transformed. And the book in chapter 1, the introduction, what does it do? Walk you through the process. If you've never been saved, then here, let's walk this through. Because if you're not saved, then you need to stop right here and not even read the rest of this book. Because the natural man can't understand the things of the spirit. It is foreign, all right? Now, look what it says of the seven realities. God is always at work around you. Pray for that phone. God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. God invites you to become involved with him in whose work? Your work? Your destiny? Your purpose? Okay. Your career? His work, right? Then it says, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible. Okay. Minister Cole, I thought you told me that God speaks. He does, right? But what else it says? No, it says God speaks through the first thing as well. The Bible. All right? The second one?
Prayer.
All right? The third one? Really? God speaks to circumstances? Oh, wow. Okay, we're gonna get there. Yeah. All right? And to who? Hold on. Deacon, you hear that, Deacon? You heard what they said, Deacon? What did they say? God speaks from circumstances and what else? Deacon, would you hear that, Deacon? Did you hear it? They said through the church. Wow. So what? Somebody going to be opening their ears up now, Deacon, ain't they? Yeah. And Deaconess, yeah. God speaks through the church. Woo. All right. And to do what? What is he doing? To reveal himself. The purpose of God speaking is to do what? Reveal. All right. What else? His purpose and his ways. God doesn't waste words. He ain't wasting his mouth saying, don't say that. Don't think like that. Don't you do that. No, he's saying, wait a minute, don't do it. All right, go ahead. You must make major adjustments in, I overlooked one. God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to what? A Christ of belief that requires faith and action. Faith and action. You can't just say faith is in a vacuum. There's some action that goes behind it. All right? Then he says, you must what? Make major adjustments in your life. I thought salvation was just to get me to heaven. No, he says, I must make adjustments. How I've been living my life cannot be the same way now I'm with Christ.
All right.
All right? So when you said you wanted to experience God, this is not just for miracles. This is for a life transformation. God is after the negative attitude, the negative mouth, the negative way of thinking, and the negative way of doing. This is how you experience God. Being transformed.
Yes.
So you ought to put in women under construction. Men under construction. This is what we're going to be experiencing going through this book.
All right.
So what God's saying, I'm going to pull off the mask, baby.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it's interesting that God speaks by the Holy Spirit through, it says, the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church is last.
Interesting. Why do you think so?
Because, I guess, I would have thought they said the church first, but now looking at this, it says the Bible, prayer, and circumstances. I don't know what else to say about it. I just thought that was interesting.
Well, anybody got something to say about that, the order?
To me, the church is a building. While we do fellowship together,
mm-hmm.
prayer is a direct relationship, circumstances. Church is not a relationship with God. It's a building when you come to worship God.
Good. Any others?
Church is
a body, right? Okay, all right. You think the author did that intentionally?
Yes.
No. Well, hey. Well, the Bible speaks of it. It is not a building.
Exactly.
Okay, but we refer to a building. So when people thought the church, you didn't think about people. You thought about, I'm coming to Mount Olive. God's speaking through Mount Olive. All right? Okay. But why? Anybody think there's a method to the order?
Yes. Because in order,
yes,
the church is the body.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of different cars, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But in order for us to work together as the church body,
mm-hmm.
to do the work of Christ, we have to go through all this other stuff first.
We have to know His word.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else deeper than I am? I don't mean that. I want to learn from you all too. That's what I meant to say. I want to learn from you all. Let me say, go ahead.
Huh? Go ahead.
What'd you really say?
Go ahead.
I think the order relates to the seven realities, the way He got it. Okay, say the Holy Spirit. I can say that related to your relationship. You got the Holy Spirit through Christ. I say the invitation is the Bible. You know more about Him. You get closer to Him. I say prayer. When you pray, you speak. God speaks back to you. Your circumstances, that's your crisis and your belief. And your adjustment, that's, I guess, that happens in church. And you get saved in church, you get baptized in the church.
Yeah. Watch out, Bruce. Okay. Yeah. I like that. Okay. Any others?
I know it says it speaks about the Holy Spirit. I think it's in that order because when we get saved, we involve the Holy Spirit. The Bible is what we use to feed that spirit, to learn, to mature, and prayer. And then we're going to go through circumstances, and the church is where you have the body of believers that get together to edify each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we all meet together
yeah.
in our circumstances.
Okay.
To, you know.
That's good. All right, we'll pick back up more on this next week, but I got to keep moving. Amen. All right. Notice to join God in what He's doing. Is that should be the goal of every Christian?
Yes.
Yes.
Is to join God, not join in what just okay. I know God is doing this, so let me join. But He's saying join Him. That is a harmonious relationship that as God is working, but He's also working in me in the areas and we're working harmoniously together. Isn't that amazing? So it's not just, okay, I'm in God's vineyard over here at this table. He says, no, as I'm at work, God is at work with me and we're working along together. All right? The last one, you come to know God by experience as you obey Him and He accomplishes His work through you. All right? So who has Job chapter 42? Go ahead. Everybody right now, right?
Okay, Job's confession.
Job chapter 42. All right, starting at verse 1.
Then Job answered the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this who darkness counsel without knowledge? Mm-hmm. But I have declared without understanding things too wonderful for me to know.
Mm-hmm.
You said, pay attention and I will speak. I will question you and you'll answer me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes.
Hold on real quick. Read that verse again.
Therefore I despise myself.
No, before that verse.
I heard of you by the hearing of the ear,
mm-hmm.
but now my eyes have seen.
Hold on. What's that verse saying?
I heard about you,
but now that I've what? Experienced you. Okay, you got it? Now, what is Job referring to?
Us,
he represents us, right? But what is Job referring to? His circumstances. Why? He had a what? Relationship with God. Right? Yeah, that through all of this, he realized God was at work. Even in and around me. So Job says, I heard about you, but now I thanks. So, some of us have a hearing only perspective about God. Or we live vicariously through other people's relationship with God. But God got you right here. And he said, I'm going to get your attention, not by speaking to you, but I'm going to allow you to walk through it. The difficulty. He lost his wife. Not his wife. I'm sorry. He lost his kids, his cattle. He even lost his health. God did not rescue him. God let it happen. At the end, Job says, I heard you about you with my ears. But now that I'm at chapter 42. So tonight, God has you at Job chapter 1. And we're going to walk through all the chapters of Job through our book and experiencing God. But you do know, and let me help you, there is a chapter 42, even though you're at chapter 1. Let me just run off that right there, because that's because we know Job didn't realize there was a chapter 42, but you do. You get the privilege of experiencing God through somebody else. And you read Job and you now shout, excited, encouraged, but God saying, guess what? I got a whole lot of Jobs that are not just Job as men, but there's some Job women sitting right in the audience. And God has a tailor-made circumstance to get you to experience him like you never did before. All right? So, man, real quickly, Kyrie, grab that phone and go back to chapter 38 real quickly for me. 38, just read a little bit real quick. I'm reading a little bit. I'm going right to chapter 1. Just read Job 30, because this blows my mind. Job chapter 38, just take a couple chapters back. All right? Now, let me help y'all understand something. Anybody know the whole story of Job?
Yeah.
Anybody kind of know the circumstance, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, did Job really have a bad attitude?
No.
He didn't? Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was. In the beginning, he didn't.
Yeah.
But by the time you get to chapter 37, 38, Job starts saying, hey, ain't nobody like me. I'm blameless, Lord.
Right.
I do everything right according to you. So Job started questioning God. So God said, hold on, who are you, man, that you darkened my world without knowledge? Right? So what Job now is what? He says, these three men, right? Job go through all these afflictions, Maureen. What happens is, he got three dudes that comes to his aid. They look at his situation, and for 7 days, Martha, they don't say a word. Day and night. And when they open their mouth, the Bible, see, my mama told me, it's one thing to be a fool. It's another thing to open your mouth up and prove that you're a fool and let everybody else know it. I'd rather these dudes just shut up and not say a word, because what happens in chapter 3 all the way to chapter 38, they are some foolish men. Because why? Sometimes we talk only what we know. And when we don't have the whole story, we've been to make presuppositions. Right? So here's Job now. He is now taking on their particular perspective, and now he's like, right? All right, 38, just read a little bit. Just read 38 a little bit. Just read it.
Then the Lord answered Job. Out of the whirlwind. Who is this who darkens counsel with words without knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for a difficult test, mm-hmm. like a man. I will question you, and you will inform me.
Mm-hmm. I will question you, Job, like you did me. See, only I'm bad enough to give you answers. But let me see how bad you are. Let me ask you a few questions. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?
Hold on. Where were you when? I laid down what? Okay, go ahead. You keep reading.
Tell me if you possess understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Who sets its measurements? If you know, or who stretched a measuring line across it?
Mm-hmm.
On what were its bases set? Or who laid its cornerstone?
Mm-hmm.
When the morning stars sang in chorus, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who shut up the sea with doors when it burst forth, or coming out of the womb?
Hold on. The sea got doors? Oh, okay. I thought you knew. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
When I made the storm clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I prescribed its limits.
Hold on. When I created the what? Storm clouds, right? And did what? Draped it. Do you know how when a white or a interior decorator decorates a room and they put the draperies, got to match what? Sometimes draperies cost more than what the furniture does, doesn't it? Because again, you put a lot into that. God is saying, look at just the storm cloud. I dressed it up too. Go ahead. And guess what? I know its limits.
Set in place its bolts and doors. When I said to here, you may come and no farther. Here, your proud waves will be confined.
Hold on. I tell it where to go and when to stop. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Have you ever in your life commanded the morning or made the dawn know its place?
Hold on. I thought the morning just come up. He says, I command the morning. If you had a minuscule thought about God, and if this don't, reading this changes your perspective of how bad your God is, and when you think about your stuff you're going through, and you read this, it'll give you a different perspective. Go ahead, read on.
That it might seize the corners of the earth.
Yeah.
And shake the wicked out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The earth takes shape like clay under a sieve.
Mm.
Its features are dyed like a garment.
Mm-hmm.
Then from the wicked, the light is withheld,
mm-hmm.
and the arm raised in its violence is broken. Had you gone to the springs that fill the sea,
yep.
or walked about in the recesses of the deep,
yep.
have the gates of death been revealed to you?
Yep.
Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness?
Yep.
Have you considered the vast expanse of the earth? Tell me if you know it all. And in what direction does the light reside? And darkness, where is its place? That you may take them their borders and perceive the pathways to their homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know for where you were born before
yep.
them, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered your storehouse of the snow, or seen your armory of the hills, which are reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of war and battle? In what direction is lightning dispersed, for the east wind scattered over the earth? Who carves out the channel for the heavy rains, and the path for the rumble of thunder, to cause it to rain on an uninhabited land, in desert where there are no human beings, to satisfy a devastated and desolated of land?
Hold on. Did you get that? God said, not only do I control what happens where inhabitants live, but what about the people that don't live nowhere, or what about the lands that nobody lives on? God said, I provide for it as well. All right, go ahead.
When there are no human beings,
yep,
to satisfy a devastated, a desolate of land, to cause it to sprout out with vegetation,
mm-hmm,
does the rain have a father, or who has the father of the drops of the dew? From whose womb does the ice emerge, and the frost from the sky? Who gives birth to it? When the waters become hard like stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen solid, can you tie the bands of the Pleiades, or mm-hmm, release the cords of the Orion? Can you lead out the constellations in their seasons, or guide the bear with his cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens, or can you set up their rule over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds so that the flood of waters covers you?
I want to stand right there. I'm done right there. I don't even want to read anymore. Can you raise your voice loud enough to make a cloud start bursting and water come out of it? For your interest in time, read the rest of the chapter and watch God blow your mind, because I never knew all the stuff that God does, and that right there humbled me. All right. So now, amen. Chapter 42, Job says, God said, three dudes, get all of your belongings, get you an offering. I'm mad that you did what you did. I need you to go to Job. If Job prays for you, then I will spare you. If not, I will kill you. So Job, the people come to Job. Hey, man, we sorry, man. We didn't do this. And the Bible says before Job got blessed, it says the Lord added, but what? After he what? Prayed. So what God is saying, Job, I need you to experience forgiveness. I'm going to forgive you first, Job, by questioning you. But at the same token, you can't do what I'm doing unless you see me forgive you. So now go forgive those jokers that you're talking to. Are you kidding me, God? That, Job, let me show you forgiveness. Because you don't have the capacity to forgive unless I show it first. Now, Job, go do what I'm doing. Wow. Wow. So every level we experience God. Chapter number one. Let's get into the book. Now, I hope you all had a chance to read chapter one. Yes.
I don't think you read this part, but it says, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Yes.
And I've often wondered why God uses such adjectives like despise or I'm a wretch, or, I mean, somebody wrote that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think sometimes that's pretty darn unhealthy.
That what is?
I'm being transparent.
That what is?
For people to say, I despise myself, or I'm a wretch, or is it in comparison with what God is? Or I don't understand why God allows those adjectives in the Bible about, not allows it, but.
I think what happens is.
It's unhealthy for us to go around saying, well, I despise myself, or. God wants us to love ourselves.
Sure. Well, what Job is experiencing, he's experiencing the tragedy of human life, right? The frailty of life. At one minute, I'm blessed. Everything is being blessed. I'm being protected. I'm being covered. Nothing going wrong in my house. I am good. Then all of a sudden, his kids die. He loses all his material blessings or material possessions. And then all of a sudden, his health is challenged, right? So what Job then starts to do is to question his own righteousness. He began to start saying, I am more righteous than everybody on the earth. I always offer up sacrifices, right? But now when he's measuring himself among humans, Job does stand out. But when Job stands up against God, who he just had a whole litany of questions that God asked him, Job saying, man, I now realize I am despised my own wretched way of thinking. So it's always those adjectives when you measure yourself against a holy and righteous God that you really see how bad you are. And I think it's a healthy perspective. Now, what's negative about it is you stay there. If it's continuous that you start to always think negative about yourself and say those things. But no, I think it's healthy to have a God's perspective about who you are. And that's Job saying, man, I was thinking the wrong thing. wow, I thought I was really doing something. I'm nothing compared to what God is. So I think it's healthy to do it, but I think it's unhealthy if it's continuance of doing that. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, chapter number one. All right? He says, knowing God by experience. All right? One day I was traveling with a minivan and my wife, two men, went on an extremely busy freeway. You all read this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Let me turn over to, is there anything that stood out in page number 9 and 10 to you all? Anybody?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. What you got?
On page 10, the second paragraph.
Uh-huh.
Starting with the third sentence. Yet God does not merely want you to read about him. He wants you to know him. That's the
Okay, yeah. He's saying God just doesn't want us to just read about him. Yeah. He wants us to what? Know him. Okay? And this word is, maybe not the Bible, but the word know me is gnosko. And what gnosko means is not only intellectual knowledge, it's also an experiential knowledge. It's not just what you ascertain through studying, being in a class, and you read your Bible, you got these study helps and these commentaries. He's also saying what you learn about God through your own experience. And there's certain things that you're going to learn through only through experience. And God has tailored your life that way so that you will know him by experience. Yes, ma'am.
One thing that I reflected on as I read this
mm-hmm.
was things that have happened in my life.
Yeah.
Even as a very young person, that I didn't realize it was experiencing God. Because I just thought that it was someone who maybe was placed in my life that helped me
mm-hmm.
get something, or I was given an opportunity, but I just never really thought about it until I was reading this as experiencing God.
Mm.
And I remember I was in graduate school, and I'm from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving back to Virginia Tech.
Yep.
And I had this little 2-seater sports car,
mm-hmm.
small car.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this 16-wheeler, or however many wheels these big trucks have, that
yeah.
was on the road.
Uh-huh.
And he passed, but then he cut back in too quickly.
Mm.
And even my car was going to go under that truck, or I could hit the shoulder.
Yeah.
Road. And I hit the shoulder road, and my car just spinned around in the road, and there was traffic coming.
Hmm.
But it didn't. They were able to stop me
and yeah.
get out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think back, you know, God, that, I know that
yeah.
was God.
Yeah.
But that day,
yeah.
I just like got my little car on the back on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna get this person's tag number.
And yeah.
I was so angry. But I should have been thanking and praising God.
Absolutely.
Because that was God's intervention right there in my life.
Absolutely.
I was 21 years old then.
Absolutely.
And so when I look back, you know, there have been other circumstances,
but
things that have happened
mm-hmm.
that I know it was
yeah.
my experience with
yeah.
God that
yeah.
I didn't recognize.
Yeah, and that's interesting that you say that. And this is not me talking arrogance, but it kind of gives you from looking at a different lens. God knew that she had to come.
Glory.
So what I need to do is, we're 18 Willa, I know you want to cut her off really early, but I'm going to allow you to go a little bit further and then cut her off because you're going to spare her because I need her alive to marry him so she could be born. God Almighty. So what this book is going to challenge you is to reevaluate that here. You have already experienced God. You didn't know it. And what God is going to say, before you gave mama the credit, your boyfriend the credit, your auntie the credit, he says, you're going to have to go back at night and say, God, I'm sorry that I didn't give you the glory about that, but right here, right now, I'm giving you glory. And that you had that moment, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to be excited about the testimonies that's going to come out of this book. Amen. All right. Here's what the third paragraph, all the way at the end of page 10. He says, merely knowing about God will leave you unsatisfied. Truly, knowing God only comes through what? Experience, as he reveals himself to you through his word, and as you what? Relate to him. Throughout the Bible, we can see that God took the initiative to disclose himself to people through the Bible. No, through their life experiences. Isn't that interesting? Notice, what's the operative word? Initiative. You ain't got to wait to God to do it. God is saying, I'm going to take the initiative. I'm going to declare and disclose who I am through your circumstance. So whatever it is you're going through, God is saying, here's my moment to show you how bad I am. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right? Come on. Wait, we're going through the book. Are we going through the book? Okay, go. The Lord will provide. So everybody turn to Genesis 22. God tells us that God was in this process of developing Abraham's character. All right? So Genesis 22. What does somebody's headline say? The offering of Isaac. Okay? Here is God. Brother West, here's God, right? He establishes Abraham. Abraham leaves his country. God says, I promise you a child, right? He's 75 years old when God promises, Genesis chapter 12. By Genesis chapter 22, he's 100 years old. 25 years later, he has Isaac, right? 11 or 12 years into having the son that he waited 25 years for, God says, Abraham, guess what? I need you to take your only son and offer him up. Does that make sense? Huh? Would God require such a task? Abraham, you love God. God said, I'm going to give you a son. Maureen, this is what God told Abraham, and say, give me a son. God said, I'm going to do through you a son, right? God says, now take that only son and offer him up. Right? Look what it says. The process of developing Abraham's character so he could be the father of a new nation. God put Abraham's faith and obedience to the test by doing what? Asking him to sacrifice his only son. Could God ask you to do the unthinkable so that you can experience it?
Yeah,
he did. Yes. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, he does. Right? Ask him to give up his only. Can you imagine that? God saying, give up your only son. Huh? He did it for us, right? Isn't that so easy? You know how we love to say that? And that's good. Yeah. But take that daughter up there. And I need you right there to grab her up and offer up. The one, you know, I know you love your daughter, but I need you to grab her and take her to the next woods, and I want you to put a knife to her and kill her. Denial, I know your two kids in college, but guess what? I need you to take them up to, I don't care what Pastor Stan say, I don't care what Reverend Dad would say, I need you to take them up there, El Gonzo, what everybody says, Denial, go up there and kill them. I know what some of my prayers is. God, if there's somebody else up there we can talk to, because God, you have bumped your head. But notice this, though, I'm digging this amber. It would make sense to me a little bit if he's a newborn. that at least I'm not attached to him, that he can go up there and do it. But you wait 12 years, so I'm grooming, I'm feeding, we're spending time. He looked like me, he talked like me, he hangs on my every word, grabbing on my knee. Take him? After I waited 25 years for this? Could God be asking to put your marriage on the altar? Not this husband I waited this long for. No, God, you can't be asking me that. Not the child I sent to Yale and paid for his college career. No, God, you can't be asking me that. Could God tell you quit your job? Sacrifice it. So that you can experience him. Yeah, I ain't got too many amens now, do I? It's one thing to have faith, but this says obedience. All right. So Abraham, the Bible says, let me tell you the story, that I don't know if he talked to Sarah. Can you imagine? Hey, baby, guess what? I know you would think I'm crazy. No, Abraham, please don't tell me you was in the woods again. Because remember, the last time you was in the woods, we left all our family, and I left everybody. I know you ain't been in the woods talking to God again. Yeah, I did. He said, oh, come out. Well, we just got rid of Ishmael. What else you want me to do, God? Baby, I don't care what you say. God told me to offer him up. So I need you to say goodbye to him now. Let me put the imagery in your head. Kiss him goodbye. Kiss mama goodbye. They saddle up the donkeys. Do you know how convinced in your mindset? It's one thing for the father to come and talk that. It's another thing to try to talk to convince a woman that's not sure because she didn't hear that. Why God ain't tell me? The last time me and God talked, when I laughed, I was at least in the other tent, and I heard him, and I laughed, so at least he brought me into a conversation. But here you go again, all by yourself, in these woods, talking about offering up my son. The last book, son, I don't care about, because that came through Hagar. I really wasn't attached to him anyway. But I labored this one through 100 years old, so you know, laboring at 100? Woo-hoo-hoo. It's one thing to be laboring at 21, but laboring at 100? And I pushed this dude out? Mama, I understand. Come on, Isaac. Here, let me go a little further. Father, he gets up and says to the servants, can you imagine the ride? Can you imagine a kid don't know where he's going, don't know what's going to happen, and yet he got a bunch of questions? Where are you going, Daddy? What's happening? Look what he said to the servants. Men and lad are going yonder to worship. Abraham calls the most difficult experience. He calls it worship. Could you putting your marriage on the line be God saying, I want to know if you would call this worship or not? Can you worship God while you're leaving a job that you know pays all the bills, but yet God told you? Man, God, get this dude, Minister Cole, out of here. I want to experience the book. Don't be bringing all this stuff up. This ain't in the book. Let's just go through it. So Abraham goes a little further. He says, worship. Are you kidding me? That's a whole other talk right there. That the most difficult thing he does, he decides to worship. Yeah. Right? Then he goes on to say, here now, Isaac. Are you smarter than the fifth grader? Yeah. Dad, maybe you didn't notice this. There's the wood, there's the altar, but we're the sacrifice because we missed something. We're burnt offering at. Right? Look what he says. Jehovah Jireh. Now, help me. Now, how does he call it Jehovah Jireh? What does Jehovah Jireh mean? The Lord of what? provide. So, have the Lord provided yet?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Hold up. If Abraham said, son, God has already provided, you are the lamb. He ain't saying that. He said the Lord will provide. Right? Look at faith in action. Right? Now, put this in perspective with the exercise we just did. He says the son doesn't do anything unless he sees the father. Glory to God. So Abraham says, let me take a page out of the book. I'm going to mimic what my father's doing. If he's requiring it, I'm going to do it. Right? Now, he gets up. Isaac, you are, God will provide. The Bible shows that Isaac is at the age where he can refuse. But he does what? Lay himself on the altar. Can you imagine the tears of, I don't know if you read Abraham and Ishmael. He cried. It was hard for him to get rid of Ishmael. God had to come and say, listen to Sarah. Take your wife, because he didn't want to get rid of him. But now Isaac, 25 years of waiting, I got this promise. Now it's my only son, and he's wrapping him, tying him to the altar. Can you imagine the heart of a father? And Isaac is laying down voluntarily. Could you be the son in your experience with God, or are you only like Abraham? I'm only good, God, as long as I'm not the one at the knife. But God forbid would you allow somebody to put me on the altar. Who am I talking to in here? Because always easy to identify with Abraham, but can you identify with Isaac, who says, death is imminent. I'm going to lay down my life because God, my Father, I trust my Father and I trust what he's doing. If he says do it, I'm going to do it because I
love
him. Oh, God. Can you love God and allow the worst tragedy to happen in your life and you lay down voluntarily? Ooh. So Abraham does it. And more in the Bible says he is now convinced. It's one thing to be a fool. Now he's like, it's now time to use it. Because some of us got a lot of faith up too. But when it comes down to where you got to now take the knife up and to bring that knife down. And the Bible says, as he went up, Abraham. Here, let me add a little bit of the book on that. Jesus. I know you're hungry. You've been fasting 40 days. So take this stone and turn it into bread. What did Jesus say? Hold on, Satan. I know you got me. Got me on this one, but man should not what? Live by what? Bread alone. But by every what?
Word.
That what? Proceed out of what? The mouth. Proceedeth means what? A continuance. Right? Now think about this. If Abraham doesn't keep his ear close to God's mouth, he will kill his son. And too often, we leave off what God said, and because he said it, we no longer are listening. And since you're not listening, you end up doing what God didn't require, because if you got to be listening to hear him say, no, don't do it. So you can't just start with the beginning of the process laying before God. You got to be attentive to God the whole process, because you don't know when God will switch. And God said, now, here's what's amazing about me, Deacon Greer, that the Bible said there is a ram, what? Tied in the thicket. So my question is, when did the ram get there? Did the ram get there? He didn't know it. Where's the ram coming from? Straight from that vein.
Yeah.
Right to the ticket. Now, what about a ram? Why a ram?
A ram in
the
bush.
Yeah, the ram in the bush, right? Because it's only going to be what?
One lamb.
So, Abraham, you don't get a lamb. I'm the only one that's going to experience a real lamb being sacrificed. But, Abraham, I want you to experience. Here, Martha, I want you to experience what I'm going to experience. Abraham, I really didn't want you to sacrifice your son, but I wanted you to know how I'm going to feel giving up mine. So, Abraham, let me use your life to show the world how you can love me enough and be willing to sacrifice the most precious thing to you. Miss Cole, where you get that from? I'm glad you asked. Because at the end of the verse, it says, Abraham, now I know you love me. Oh, God, more than me. Why? Because God is saying, the only way to respect the Father is love got to be your motivation. Is love your motivation? Do you love the Father enough to sacrifice what you want to only accomplish what He wants? But I don't like the way it says, because He says, now I know. I would follow that. There's a group study called Open Theism. Open Theism is a contradictory. What it means is God doesn't know the future. And they use this verse. Because God says, now I know. So what it says is God is experiencing this information while Abraham is going through it. He didn't know it prior to. I don't like that. It ain't the best way it sounds. The way it really should sound, now Abraham, I have made it known to you. I already knew you loved me more than that. That's why I required it from you. I ain't gonna never require for you that I already know what you're able to do. But Abraham, I needed you to show that you had love for me. So Abraham, don't do it. Can you experience God like that? Can God do that in your life? Let me move on. God's perfect provision. Jehovah Jireh. What did Abraham say? God will provide. Did you all read Hebrews? You know Hebrews says, Wes, that Abraham said, even if I had to kill him, God was going to resurrect him. Do you know what kind of faith a father has to have? That even if I put the knife to him, God, your promise to me was that you're going to bless me through him. So you can't kill him. Because he has to continue to promise. All right. Now, again, let's turn the page over to 14. Moses. When Moses encountered God in a what? Burning bush. How about the burning bush? Here's Moses away from God. He sees what? A bush that's burning, but what? Not consumed, right? Then it says, a voice comes out the bush. So here's Moses, away from God, the one had nothing to do with God and his people. I killed an Egyptian, I'm gone, God, I ain't worried about you. But all of a sudden, the very place he just walked past, that was dust and dirt, the bush was not on fire. He turned around, this bush on fire. And to the point that he looks at it and draws his attention. What burning bush moment do you have? But here's my question, brother, is that the burning bush, God says, take off your shoes. So it's one thing for the bush to be burning. It's another thing for a bush not burning and being consumed to now talking. What? God starts talking through the fire? Oh, y'all, can God talk? Oh! So could God be talking through your supervisor getting ready last night? Could it be God talking to your husband getting on your nerves? Your wife getting on your nerves? Could God use these burning bush moments, right? But now, Moses, take off your shoes. But God, this dirty ground, this dirt, what do you mean? He says, now with my presence on it, it's holy. Because, Moses, it's unholy as long as my presence ain't on it. But the minute my manifested presence touches it, it's holy ground. You need to take your shoes off. Because the way you approached me before, you can't approach me the same way. Because this is a God moment. And Deacon, I wonder that God has a lot of burning bushes, but my question is, how close are you to the flame? Because when you're close to the flame, you can't come back the same way. Glory be to God. And I'm wondering about people who talk about being close to God, but yet there has no transformation. They still cuss, they still talk bad, they still do all this stuff, but yet you got burning bushes moment? Are you kidding me? I see it. It was burning. But my question is, what happened when you were there? Moses says, look what it says. Who should I say sent me? I am. What benefit is yours, Moses, that you need to add a reference after who's sending you? Right? But notice in the flame, what does he get? A real bush experience. God could have just talked from the clouds. But he says, Moses, no. Number two, let me take this a little further. I'm sorry, my time is gone up. Now, Moses, grab this rod in your hand. Now, throw it down, Moses. Moses, throw down the rod. What happened? It turns to a snake. Moses said, oh, Lord, a python. He said, no, don't be scared. Go down there and grab it again. He goes right there with snake slithering, and his rod came back in his hand. Moses, is that enough for you to be convinced? No, God, ain't enough. Okay, take your hand. You see your hand, Moses? Oh, yeah, I see it, God. I stick it in your bosom. Now, I'm trying to understand, how do you stick it in your bosom when your stomach blocks, the skin blocks your hand from going down? So that's a miracle in and of itself. That this man is able to put his hand in his bosom. Which means he comes back out as leprous. Oh my God. God, what are you doing? Well, stay right there. Put that same hand. Right back in the leprous area. And when you put it back out, it's what? What is God saying? I'm showing you my power. Why are you scared? He's saying, I'm showing you, Moses, that you have nothing to be scared about. So here's Moses. Who do I say sent me? Why? Because again, Moses, here you go. I gave you two full miracles. A burning bush, me speaking. Second, I gave you a rod and a snake and leopards and nothing. And you still asking me what these people are asking about you? Are you scared? Are you kidding me? You're scared of people, and you got a God who can put your hand in bosoms? What about you? Are you too scared to experience God? You got the burning bush sitting there. But you so scared because this ain't the way I heard it. Pastor Stinger don't preach about a burning bush. Mr. Cole don't say nothing about this. It's a Bible study. What is this, God, you doing? God said, I'm bad. I can do anything I want. I can show up anywhere, at any moment, at any time. The question is, he coming whether you want him or not.
Amen.
And Moses says, he says, tell him I am who I am. Now, here's another thing. Because Moses is asking, maybe the people won't know who I'm representing. Moses, you think so small. You think that geography was going to keep you away from me. I got to you, didn't I? But what I'm telling you is I already got to them. They already know who I am. They wait for you to come. So God is saying, if Moses go down and say, who sent you, Moses? I am who I am. And obviously, whoever God says he is, he's already revealed it to them.
All right.
If he ain't, guess what? He would by the time I get there. Come on, y'all got to go with me. Y'all got to go with me. All right, all right. I got no seconds now. All right. Now, what we're going to do next week is we're going to deal with the questions. Where am I at?
Page 7.
I am who I am.
That's great.
All right. Relationship, not just name. All right. Now, here, experience with God today. Watch for ways God may bring you into a deeper knowledge of him through the experience of your life. All right? Then, here's your life. Take time to worship God as you have what? Come to know him. There was a moment when God reminded her of the car accident. He said, baby, that was me. I did that. She said, oh my God, Lord. Hallelujah. And maybe Brother Weaver came home and said, baby, what's wrong with you? Baby, I got to do that. When you, baby, you don't understand. When I, remember the accident I had a little time ago? Did you know God did that? Whoa! Your kids, your husbands, your coworkers are waiting for your God moments that you're going to share, that you're going to experience. The question is, are you going to open your mouth and tell them? So as we go through this, he says, before you go tell them, to worship God is to honor God, to acknowledge him as worthy of your praise. As you experience God, we're praying that you be just like Abraham. Jehovah Jireh, we going yonder to worship. While you're arguing with your wife, or you're arguing with your husband, can you say, husband and wife, I'm sorry, this is a worship moment. I'm getting ready to worship right in the middle while you arguing with me. Hold on, supervisor. This is a worship moment. I end with this.
Yeah.
WBC, let me go. I was driving in the car from WBC, and the guy said to me, Ms. Cole, this meeting is twofold. Today is your last day. Now, I've been there 12 years, just up Sunday. He said, this is Friday. Friday, he said, it's 3 o'clock. Today is your last day. So when you go to the office, clean out your office, and the rest we'll deal with you later on, but this is your last day. Far one of the most terrifying moments to ever hear. You know the first thing that came to my mind, Martha? I can't believe you just did this. Dude, you know I'm in the middle of your minivan that got all junk everywhere, and I'm standing on top of junk. I'm in a minivan. You going to let me go on in a minivan? You didn't have the decency to bring me in your office and then, you know, let me go the right way? But you know what I said? How much time we got? He said, well, he said, I'm going for a meeting, Ms. Cole. I got a phone call with Dallas Theological Seminary. They're trying to partner with the school. And he said, well, you mind? I'm going to take you to lunch. I'm going to say, my God. I said, nah, I don't need nothing to eat. What I want is, do I have 5 minutes? He said, what you need 5 minutes? I want you to pull on 695. Because I'm about to worship God like I never worshipped before. Because if you let me go like this, God about to blow my mind. I know it's sad on your end, my brother. But when I serve the God of the universe, this is a worship moment. I ain't talking about something I heard. This is what I experienced. Because I realized God is in control, not no man. God got me. And he got you. Don't let Satan rob you of your worship moments. Worship right when the hell is breaking loose.
Yeah.
When Wes, I remember, Wes, hold on, baby. Hallelujah, Lord. I guarantee you, stop. I guarantee you, stop. You can't argue with nobody and cuss somebody out while they're worshiping the Lord. You need to stop. Shut up, lady. Yeah, shut up. Hallelujah.
That's too soon.
Thank you. Hold on now, hold on.